But these are the real ones. Well, let's begin first to prepare our hearts for the word of silent prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather together to study your word, to magnify your name. We pray that you would help us focus tonight on the meal, the spiritual meal you've prepared for us, and that we might take it to heart and open our eyes of spiritual enlightenment. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So, there are four main words of power. We've mostly covered the first one, dunamis, which refers to capabilities or potential power, abilities. The other two, one of them is only applied to God. We haven't got to it yet. Kratos, manifest strength. And his application being the creation of the universe and dominion of all creation. And iskouos or iskous refers to inner strength. When you put those together, you get the word. In the King James, it's also, usually translated as effectual working, or the application of divine power. And of those, three can be delegated to God's creation, authority, rule, and dominion. And as our passage that we jumped out onto this was Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. We see how it is applied to us. All power is belonging to God, all true power, and is delegated to us through knowledge, faith, and prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? That's our first word, dunamis. Toward us who believe. So you might translate that as the greatness of his capability, his potential. The word dunamis is responsible for English words dynamite, dynamic, potential capabilities towards us who believe. So faith being the essential element in the application for believers. These are, all of these things, the hope, the riches, the greatness, in accordance with the working. That's our second word here, energeos, the effectual working. Because anything God does will be efficacious, will be efficient, and will work. Of the strength, that's our other word, kratos, being the manifest strength of God. It's only ever applied to God. Of his might, and that's our fourth word, iskous, which refers to inner strength. Now, the application of these things results in authority, rule, and dominion, which we'll get to. We covered first the cosmic version of power, which is mindless and misdirected, is most often translated as violence, the word bia. And is in direct opposition to divine power, which is always directed, always according to the will and plan of God. So, since I had such a difficult time getting the outline correct, I printed it out. So there were four major headings under dunamis. First being inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. And we talked how that is applied to God. God is the definition of dunamis. He is dunamis. God is power. We look at the right hand of God, the right hand of power. Those terms are synonymous in the New Testament. And God possesses dunamis as part of his nature. As being who he is, that's why he possesses dunamis, because he is dunamis. Therefore, on the basis of omnipotence, he is able to deliver us both temporally and eternally. The example there being Moses in the Exodus, we looked at in Hebrews 3, and eternally in Romans chapter 1 and 19. He is able to delegate, or to channel, if you will, to give to us this same capability, the capability of the creation of the universe, of the execution of God's plan, of the victory in the angelic conflict. This dunamis is the source of power for everything to do with the Christian way of life. So that was the definition background. We also looked at substantive uses of dunamis, miracles, acts of wonder, acts of power. Jesus, primarily, being the primary example of dunamis, the standard against which all acts of power are judged. And we talked about his miraculous transfer from his temptation in the wilderness back to Galilee, when he had voluntarily foregone the use of that same power to step out of the will of God and the plan of his Father. And we have a list of here. We looked at some of these. The ratification of his work on earth was often through acts of dunamis, miracles, acts of wonder. But you'll note, if you look through these verses, that he didn't waste that power on an unbelieving audience. That he moved right along. He did not do many acts of wonder because there was no faith. When he had a believing audience, he did lots of miracles. And then we looked at other examples of working wonders or substantive uses of miracles with the apostle. That was the authority for their ministry. The ratification that they were carrying on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing with John the Baptist. We looked that he did not have to be ratified by acts of dunamis because he had the Lord Jesus Christ right there with him as the ultimate ratification of his authority. And then the application, the very same vocabulary with ordinary Christians in Galatians 3:5, and then the spiritual gifts, which Bob will be covering soon. That we have also applied to the power of the indestructible life, the eternal state, and angels are both capable of dispensing acts of dunamis, as in the second advent. And they're also called powers, substantized as dunamis. And we looked fourthly under the contrast between actual power and counterfeit power, true word, true strength, as opposed to appearances in 1 Corinthians and Thessalonians. So that gets us caught up. Application to us, direct application to us, is that acts of dunamis, Christians are empowered, a verb from the same root, to do acts of power through excellence of soul. So let's start tonight with 2 Timothy 1:7. Actually, let's start with, Colossians 1:11. Sheet of paper here. Starting short on blank paper here, aren't I? All right. Okay. Beginning with verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of you, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power. Those are both dunamis, empowered with all power. Thanks. According to His glorious might, and that's kratos. The standard of power is the manifest dominion of God, kratos. For the attaining of steadfast and patience and joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He has already delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So, you'll note the common pattern as we start with prayer, and generally that's for knowledge. That results in power, and generally that's dunamis, capability, infinite capability. That results in fruit, and fruit is accompanied by increasing in knowledge. And that is the pattern we've been studying in James, as we see in the Pauline epistles. You learn, you do, you learn, you do, you learn, you do. And that is the Christian way of life. That results in prayer on both ends. Prayer for knowledge, for divine guidance, and that's at the other end, prayer for thanksgiving. Verse 9, he starts out, we have not ceased to pray. The iterative, linear, present tense. We pray over and over and over and over again without ceasing. What is the object of our prayer? Filling of spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We could spend a long time with those verses or those words there. But generally, we have the progression from familiarity knowledge to understanding, practical knowledge, to knowledge gained from experience through use. The result of that process of knowledge gaining is that you might, again, it's dependent on volition and faith, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, able to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge. So, you gain knowledge, you put it into use. You gain more knowledge, you put that into use. You gain wisdom. Having been strengthened with all dunamis. So, you have been empowered with all power. And this is potential power. Power inherent by virtue of its nature. The efficacious, unthwartable power of God the Father. Bearing fruit, and again, this is linear, continual action in every good work. And that's our word energeia, the effectual working, the noun, ergon. And an attendant circumstance to bearing that good fruit is that you continue to increase in the knowledge of God. The result is steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks. And these are results of living the Christian way of life. These are gifts of God. As you gain wisdom and experiential knowledge and bear fruit, the result of that fruit for you, the grace gift to you from God, are things like steadfastness, patience, and a continual mental attitude of thanksgiving. The basis of that thanksgiving is our many blessings from being in Christ. Are sharing the inheritance of the saints in light. We're in the kingdom of God, ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven here on earth, having already been transferred into the kingdom of heaven, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, eternally. So that's the context I want us to think about dunamis in. Dunamis is an unquenchable well of divine power that is efficacious to any situation that we might run into. These days, you can look up almost any passage on the internet and come up with 3 or 4 dozen sermons on it. It's kind of cool from all different perspectives. So I was traipsing around, and I ran into this story of from a guy named Tom Rees. He's an old school English evangelical from earlier in this century. He wrote a book called The Spirit of Life, or Life More Abundant. Anyway, it's a cool story I'm going to read to you. He says, "I don't like big cities. I much prefer the countryside." He's a country preacher. "And for this reason, I go to London only when it's absolutely necessary. However, every week or so, I set out for London in the car, complete with a list of people I have to see and things I want to buy. Not long ago, I set out for one of my journeys to town. After parking the car, I went into a shop to make several purchases. I want 6 of those and a dozen of those, and oh yes, one of those too. But while the assistant was packing my parcel, I put my hand in my pocket to pull out my wallet, and to my horror, it wasn't there. So covered with confusion, I said, 'I'm so sorry. I'll have to ask you to put those things back. I've come to London without any money. I will call in again in a day or so.' So then, covered with embarrassment and feeling very small, I walked out of the shop, and as I looked through my shopping list again, I discovered that without any money, I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't buy anything. So my journey to London had been completely fruitless. So with a heavy heart, I climbed back into my car and drove home. I went straight to my room to collect the wallet from the suit I'd worn the previous day, and panic seized me. It wasn't there, and I knew that it had contained nearly 20 pounds, which in that day was a lot of money. There was only one thing for it. I must have been robbed. Then in a sort of desperate way, I ran my hands over the jacket I was wearing. And can you imagine how I felt when I discovered my wallet in the jacket pocket? It had been there all day. I'm sure none of us have ever done this, right? It's under the seat in the car, whatever. I had taken it with me to London. I carried it into the shop. I brought it home again. Now, why was my journey to London fruitless? Why did I behave as if I were penniless? It wasn't because I didn't have any money. I had nearly 20 pounds. The reason was simply this. I didn't know I had it. And what struck me when I was reading this is the context he's talking about is dunamis. He's talking about Ephesians 1:18. You're walking around with, you know, the power to light suns up. But most of the time, we don't know we have it. You know, dunamis is the unquenchable source of energy. Energeion here comes from dunamis. So this is like the battery that drives whatever we do in our lives. But most of the time, we forget our wallets in our pocket and we don't use it. So I thought that was a cool story. we are being indwelt with the Holy Spirit at all times through every day. And we do have access to this untappable, unquenchable source of power every day. So that was, we're here to see spiritual power. So let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Beginning with verse 5, 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So, source of power is the indwelling Holy Spirit. Bob talked about this morning. And at the beginning of the church, not everybody received the Holy Spirit at the same time. The mechanism is a little bit different. Some people received it through the laying on of hands as it was phased in from Jerusalem, Israel, and the Gentiles out from Pentecost. But that's the source. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So next, let's turn to Ephesians 1:19 one more time. There should be three more times after tonight. Start in verse 13. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations, and we know the situation that Paul is in, on your behalf, for their glory, your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. There's your prayer. From whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. That's dunamis. That's exousios, authority. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened in dunamis again with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. So remember, we start out with prayer, faith, knowledge, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Reference again to that iterative process, familiarity, understanding, experiential wisdom, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled up to the fullness of God. Actually, I was going to come to this passage later, wasn't I? I was going to read 1:18 first, but we know that one already. So, there again, the mechanism is through the Holy Spirit. Dunamis belongs to God the Father, to God. God is dunamis. By definition, he is infinite capability and potential. The mechanism through which it is we are endued with it, or strengthened with it, or empowered by it, is through his Holy Spirit. And the portion of us that is empowered through his Holy Spirit is our human spirit. We have within us flesh, soul, and spirit. And it is through our human spirit that we commune with the Holy Spirit so that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. so that we might understand the love of Christ. And flip over a couple of chapters to Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians is an incredibly compact little book. It's not very long, but it is just extremely, extraordinarily dense with doctrine. And in four, five chapters, Paul has laid out the entirety, really, of any systematic theology. There's no doctrine or category within a systematic theology that is not going to refer to the first four books of Ephesians, because it's all there. It's very compact, and he just rifles through it very quickly, but it's all there. You spend a month, 6 weeks, on one verse in Ephesians, because that's how dense the book is. And he's covered the entirety. You know, he talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about your former life. He talks about battle with the world. He talks about all our manifold blessings as members of the body of Christ. He talks about living through the Holy Spirit. He talks about the home. He talks about parents and children and slaves and masters and every human relationship. And then at the end, after he's covered the whole gamut of systematic theology, he ends with the passage that starts in 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. We are commanded to be strong in the Lord. And this is the word, we're going to come back to this when we talk about the cognates of dunamis, but this is the causative verb, give yourself dunamis. Use dunamis. Use your potential. And in the strength of his might. And that's the other two words. One being the manifest power, kratos, and the other being the inner strength. So, the application of your inner strength. Be empowered in the Lord through our relationship and our position in Christ and in the application of the inner strength that we've been granted as members of the body of Christ. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. There's the angelic conflict, the cosmic forces, the real battle in the Christian way of life. Take up the full armor of God that you might be able to resist in the evil day, which is this present age. And having done everything, what is everything in this context? Take up the armor of God. That's it. Which in the end is just a volitional decision and belief in that armor, faith in the armor. But in the end, it's just saying yes to taking up the full armor of God. Stand firm. And we have truth, righteousness, preparation to give the gospel, faith, salvation, and our only weapon, which is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And finally, as always, pray and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. And there again, Paul has covered in that one verse all the major words and types of prayer. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf. So, what I want us to get out of this, though, is that the reason this is can be a command in verse 10, be strong, be empowered, use your potential power that is the gift of God, is because it doesn't depend on us. None of that depends on us. All of that is a gift. If you look through all those items in the full armor of God, you'll note that they are all gifts of God. And they require nothing but putting them on or taking them up or using them. They require nothing but faith, and volition, and prayer. So next, I hope we do see the pattern in all those verses 2 Timothy, Colossians, and Ephesians, that it begins with prayer, and that prayer is always accompanied with knowledge. The prayer is for knowledge, generally. That results in the application of what you already got, empowered in the strength of His might, in fruit, every good work. That fruit, another kind of fruit, a subcategory, if you will, of fruit, is increasing in knowledge. The iterative, take in knowledge, use it, take in, use. And it ends with prayer, again, but the prayer at the end is for thanksgiving. And the character, the Christian character we looked at, was steadfastness and patience and love. So that's C, spiritual power. It's also used in a general sense of ability or capabilities. I don't think we're going to look all these up, but you have common phrases like beyond our ability, each according to his ability, the capabilities, the powers of the eternal state, which are infinite. In 1 Corinthians 14, which I think Bob is going to cover shortly, the capabilities of language, the powers of speech. And also in Hebrews 11, the potential fire, the consuming potential of fire. It's also used of resources, externals of power, armies, wealth. The power of the mob is in its numbers. And it's striking, if you look at the uses in Greek outside the New Testament, they aren't very similar. You look at the New Testament and it emerges very quickly that it's all about inherent power. Something has dunamis by virtue of who and what they are. Or who and what it is, if it's fire, if you will, or wealth or something like that. But in the divine sphere, it's infinite and it's all about potential to carry out the will of God. But if you look in the uses outside the New Testament, power and influence from wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, the power of the mob, military power consisting in large armies. From there, that's the influence that the angels are called powers in armies in Revelation. Dunamis is the source of power. It's that can be that which gives power. 1 Corinthians 15:56, we'll look at briefly. The source of power of sin is the law. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal shall have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, and that's dunamis. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this makes sense, I think, because inherent in its nature is we talk about missing the mark. You know, here's your bullseye. There's sin. Miss the mark. By virtue of its nature, the law is the mark. Sin has to err against something. Sin is erring against the law. The power of sin is the law. So inherent in the mark, the bullseye, is the power of sin. So it goes quite well with our other passages. Acts 10:38. We'll look at real quick. That's the passage on kenosis. Source of power for our Lord Jesus Christ during the kenosis. Jesus Christ is dunamis by his nature. He possesses dunamis. You know of Jesus of Nazareth how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So the attendant parallelism there is that the Holy Spirit is the power in the construction. And he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, and for God was with him. So the source of that power and the application of that power were the miracles, the healings, the doing good, is the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God the Son voluntarily put aside the exercise of his omnipotent power while he was here on earth so that he might be a more excellent high priest and example to us. So his use of power is the perfect example for our use of the power. We use it in exactly the same way through the Holy Spirit. And we'll lastly look at 2 Peter 1:3. I think we looked at before. Yeah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And then we have the long list of moral excellence, the definition of moral excellence. But where does it begin? It begins with the grace, gift of divine power, which is dunamis. Divine capabilities, the same capabilities that are able to deliver Moses and Israel from the Red Sea and us from sin, and create and direct the universe in Hebrews chapter 1. That's been given to us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge. So, where does it come from? Knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So in some sense, it's not enough to have the wallet. We have the divine natures. We have the inner man. We have the grace gift of everything pertaining to life and godliness. The mechanism, the means of everything. But we don't know what we have. And learning what we have is a lifetime objective of the Christian way of life. It's already been granted to us, but the understanding through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, by learning about Christ, becoming more like Christ, who is the perfect example of the exercise of dunamis, potential power. So let's close with that. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together in worship and praise and to learn your word. We pray that you might make us sensitive to your will in our daily lives, that you might help us to recognize doors and windows that you open to us, that we might be watchful and alert for those opportunities to apply your word in our daily lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.